Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Dr. Guy's Monday Night Gumbo with your host, Dr. Tanisha Guy, licensed professional counselor, and co-host Andrea Wise Brown, life strategist and licensed professional counselor, and Sean the Realist. Dr. Guy Monday Night Gumbo and associates take no responsibility for the opinions or statements made by talk show hosts or their guests. Statements or show topics are not necessarily the beliefs of the show host. Dr. Guy Monday Night Gumbo is not intended to be therapy, but the sole purpose is to disseminate information, increase dialogue across ages, religious preference, gender, and sexual orientation. Don't forget to tune in every week to Dr. Guy's Monday Night Gumbo.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Dr. Guy's Monday Night Gumbo. So, I am so excited to talk about tonight's topic because we talk about this amongst ourselves as women all the time, but we're not men, so we really don't know what's inside the mind of a man. And so tonight, I have the opportunity to talk about what do successful men really want in a relationship. And so, as always, you guys, I'm going to introduce my guest for this evening. His name is Leo Edwards. He's the Senior Director and Corporate Partnership of Arizona Coyotes. And so for all of my listeners, please help me welcome Leo Edwards to the show tonight. Hey, Leo.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. I hope you're ready because tonight I need you to be as honest as possible. You ready for that?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
Grown people have grown folk conversations. So.
Right. This is grown folks all day long tonight. And as always, I cannot forget my co-host, Sean the Realist. Hey, Sean.
Hello. Hey, I can't wait for all the festivities tonight as well.
So I don't need to tell you to be honest because week after week you may be a little bit too honest. So, Sean, I'm just going to say just be Sean. How about that?
All right. I won't get fired. I'm going to say anything too crazy.
Okay. So before we get started, I am going to allow Leo to introduce himself to our listeners and tell us a little bit about what you do because your title is Senior Director, Corporate Partnership, Arizona Coyotes. What does all that mean? What do you do?
Okay. So, first of all, my full name is Leonard Edwards. Leo is all my friends call me Leo. I love to go by that name. What I do, I am a 15-year professional sport executive. So I have 15 years of experience in professional sports with ranges of I worked for the Orlando Magic for four seasons. I worked for the Cleveland Cavaliers when LeBron and the Cavs went to the finals and lost to the Spurs back in 2007. And before my previous role, I was in NASCAR in various different roles from motorsports, moving through the areas of that. I was the first black hired in my department in NASCAR and Daytona. And I've also was the first black director of sales that they've ever had. Now we have more that have gone on to do further things and have joined the organization. But in my current day-to-day responsibilities, I oversee the corporate partnerships, which consists of sales, service, of advertising for the Arizona Coyotes and Hilla River Arena. So basically, that's for the National Hockey League. Our team is one of 30 member clubs and professional hockey, which is the NHL. Basically, what I oversee is radio, television, signage, any type of unique intellectual property rights. That's the using the marks of the Arizona Coyotes to, if you're in the sports or you're watching the television, you see the official something of the Arizona Coyotes, that would be considered intellectual property rights. And then we also deal with all the food and beverage sponsors. So when you come to the arena and you have Wetzel's Pretzels or you have a B&B sausage, hot dog or something like that, all of the different partner related to the actual team as well as the building is what I oversee on a day-to-day basis. So that is roughly a multi-million dollar department, And our job is to service the accounts as well as bring on new partners every day. So we compete with the likes of the Phoenix Suns, the Arizona Cardinals, and the Arizona Diamondbacks. Last year, my department was number one in the entire NHL in new business revenue as far as corporate partnerships. So that's my day-to-day responsibility.
Okay. Pretty busy. Very impressive. I must say that, very impressive. And before we even get started, so I am just going to go ahead and put this all out there that you and I go way back, like way, way back. And so to hear your accomplishments today, I am just so amazed and so proud of you because, like, I can't even, like, I'm not going to tell the listeners out there how far we go back, but we go way, 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 way back. I am so proud of you and all of your accomplishments. So we are going to go ahead and get right into tonight's topic because so many of our listeners have been texting, posting comments on Facebook. So, Sean, Leo, you both would consider yourselves eligible candidates, successful men, correct?
Yes.
No
That's
kids.
Correct.
Not no married.
Kids.
You have
not
a
to my knowledge.
Not to your knowledge.
You have what now?
Not to your knowledge. You guys are college educated, very
yes.
business savvy, and yet you're not married. So
correct.
Let's talk about, and I want you both to give your own opinions about what it is that you believe successful men are looking for. So what are some qualities that men in your stature, both of you all, are looking for when you're dating women?
Sean, me, who?
Well,
whichever
you know,
one you guys want to go first.
You know, we'll let you be the guest, you know, so I'm pretty unique in my approach, so I'll let you go ahead first.
So I was thinking about this earlier today as I was working and newly, freshly out of, you know, a situation or whatever, the first thing and just dealing with talking to my boys on a daily basis, we like to get together about 2 to 3 times a year and just talk, and then obviously we have our group text messaging that we do on a daily basis. It's been going on for literally over close to 4 years. I would say the number one thing that I look for, and me personally, and just really just looking at all the different people that I am, my circle of friends that are doing well, we look for confidence. Confidence is by far the best thing for me, is because, and the reason why I say that, you know, we're busy. We spend a lot of time. I spend probably 70%, 80% of my day at work. I work normally on average of 10 to 12-hour days. That's right now. And then during the season, working on average 14, 15-hour days. And then if there's a concert going on or some type of event at the arena, I may be pulling in, you know, close to 20 hours going into, like, midnight or whatnot. Like, tomorrow night we have New Kids on the Block, Nelly and TLC, at the arena, so I probably won't get off until about midnight after starting that morning at 7 a.m. So you look at the time frame, confidence is key. Why? Because I think dealing with me, you have to be a confident person knowing that you may not necessarily talk to me every day, all day, or you may not necessarily see me all day. You get off at 5 o'clock, but I'm still at work, or I have a business plan that I'm working on. And, you know, with everything that's going on in society, the first thing that, you know, tends to go is, well, what is he doing? And I think a lot of times, and this is just me personally, I think men have used in years, past years, work as an excuse in order to really do what you truly want to do. But in my case, when I say I'm working, I am not that I did. I am working or doing something that's facilitating or dealing with work. So for me, it's all about confidence and having that woman that can, okay, I know he's at work. I know he has this to do. She's confident enough to know I'm going to let him do what he needs to do. I'm going to let him handle it, because the first thing you can do is it, as a woman, is kind of knock a brother's dreams down by, you know, doing the things that we're doing or trying to achieve it. Certainly if you're knocking the dreams down, that tend to create doubt, creates uncertainty. And, like, I'm not sure if she's the one.
Hmm. Okay. That's a good one. I just want to ask another question in reference to the confidence. So if for you, when you say she has to have confidence, is that confidence that she trusts you, that if you say that you're at work, you're at work, or is it confidence in, like, she's self-assured that she doesn't have to worry about what you're doing because she's busy leading her life or she has a successful career? So specifically, when you say she has to have confidence, in what area?
I think it bleeds all together. If I say I'm at work, then I'm at work. If you have to be confident to know that, hey, I'm out here and I'm about the business of, one, my career, and two, making sure that you and I are together and there's not going to be any issues. But if that, I guess that insecurity starts to bleed in, it just, to me, it always seems to be like a downhill spiral. So I think it's a combination of both in my mind. It's a combination of confidence in the fact that I am at work, and then confidence in the fact that, you know what, I have to trust that he is doing what he says he's doing.
All right. So insecurity is a big turnoff.
Huge for me.
Okay. All right. Sean, what about you?
For me, I do definitely agree with him about the confidence. And maybe what I have to say might be more like part B to what he's saying. So if he says confidence, I'm going to have to say intelligence. But that's not necessarily strictly from a linear standpoint. We need to talk about just emotional intelligence as well and how to conduct yourself in a relationship. You know, fighting fair. You know, if I got six toes, don't call me a sorry six-toed guy. You know, I'm sensitive about my six toes. You know that. That's not fair. Don't do that. You know, like you said, if he is at work all day, then have the intelligence to, you know, do something while he's working, furthering the agenda of you and him to make his life easier. Whether it's, you know, if you trust her enough to have the key, maybe she's cleaned up, maybe she's done something, but, you know, to still be a partner in the situation and not be standoffish because of him working all day or him, you know, being around the people that he's around. You know, that can be something in his specific industry that can be a problem if he's around those type of people. So if you're around the athletes, then you become someone who is around the girls that like the athletes. You know, if you're around, you know, the guys and New Kids on the Block, then you'll be around the fans and New Kids on the Block that are willing to do some things to get access. So, you know, it's more about having the intelligence to know how to maneuver through those situations, you know, and be able to be a partner and figure out how to be a partner, you know, how to play a role as a woman and not necessarily be the alpha woman that you might have to be at work. I don't need an alpha woman. You know, and when you have two alpha personalities, then that can't do anything but clash.
Interesting that you both made reference to, and Sean, I'm just going to assume that this is probably your number one. What attracts you, number one, to women is their intelligence, whether it's emotional or intellect. And then, Leo, you said that it's confidence. And so I'm surprised that both of you made reference to qualities that were non-physical as a man. And maybe this is my thinking as a woman, because I don't think like a man. But we, as women, we have always been taught that men are visual creatures. And so men are attracted to, obviously, what is visually pleasing to the eye. So to hear both of you men make reference to your most important qualities that you're looking for, neither of you mentioned anything that was physical.
Hey, Doc, don't get it twisted. I think the actual visual comes when you're actually trying to get inside the door. Once we get past the door and get underneath the surface, I think that's the number one thing that we look at. But obviously I'm not going to talk to somebody or, you know, trying to connect with somebody that I'm not necessarily attracted to, if that makes sense. I think attraction is definitely key, but I think this just adds to what the attraction is all about.
Okay. Sean, any comments about
that? Well, I think another problem that women have is they're not necessarily good at marketing themselves. You know, they don't know what works for their body type sometimes. You might find someone who has identified some icon that they're trying to pattern themselves after, whether it be Beyonce, you know, Kelly Rowland, Kim Kardashian. Like, you might pattern yourself after Kim Kardashian, but you got big breasts and small butt. But in your mind, because Kim is the girl right now, then that's what you're doing. And we're like, well, hey, that don't work for you. You know, so it's really about women finding what works for them versus what is being spread propaganda-wise in society. So, you know, right now, you know, butts are a big thing. Well, if you ain't got a butt, then don't worry about that. Don't do that. You know, you find something else. You know, maybe you need to find, you know, Zoe Kravitz and bottle yourself after her, you know. But don't do what doesn't work for you. And I think that's something that, you know, a lot of women have problems with. Or, you know, since I'm a little older, I'm 40, what I find is people are still thinking they look like they used to look, and they don't.
Hmm. Okay. Very valid statements in reference to physical attractiveness. Sean, you kind of opened up the door to one of the questions that I was thinking, and you and I have talked before about the new craze in plastic surgery. And anybody that knows me knows that I am team plastic surgery. If you want it, knock yourself out. But as it relates to what men, and obviously you guys can't speak for all men, you're giving your personal opinion, but in 2015, we now live in a society where literally you can buy any and everything. And so if I decided that I did not like, you know, my breasts, my butt, my hips, my thighs, everything I can manipulate at this point to make it look the way I believe it should look or I want it to look. When you guys are dating women, does that even matter? Like, if I decide to go into the doctor's office tomorrow and say, this is the picture that I want, and I'm just going to use Kim Kardashian because I work with a lot of teenage girls, and she is their absolute role model. And so they adore this woman. They adore everything about her, her shape, how she looks, shops, all that. And so I take this picture into the doctor's office, and I say, look, I'm going to need you to make it do what it do. And this is how I want to come out. And let's say he's an excellent plastic surgeon and he does exactly what he gets paid to do. And so now I have this perfect hourglass shape. Does it matter that I paid for it?
To me, no. It doesn't. I've always said this. And, you know, me and my boys, we talk about this pretty often. And I think we last just spoke about it maybe a week and a half ago. For me, I always believe that a woman should find her pretty. What that pretty is based on how you find it or you determine it to be what you desire. I do think there is an excess of plastic surgery going on nowadays. People are glorified by it. I see 14-year-olds, 15-year-olds, you know, just getting it before they even really fully develop. But for me personally, I have no problems with it. I just don't think you should do it in excess, or it should be done. It shouldn't be overkill, if it makes that sense. I also do believe that one day I'm going to be a father, and if my wife comes to me and she says, hey, Leo, I want to get a tummy tuck. I want to, you know, lift my boobs. Is that okay? We got the finances. If that's what you want to do, fine. But first and foremost, you don't have to do that because – and I also think that, and this is just me personally, just after, you know, looking at a lot of celebrities that are men that are older who are in their 50s and 60s who are now dating, you know, younger women, even the women that they're dating, even their wives or whatnot, they're all getting plastic surgeries to kind of find a fountain of youth. But for to really dive in and more, yeah, I'm for it as long as it's not overkill.
Okay. Sean, what are your thoughts?
Man, you know I don't like that shit. Not in the slightest.
You just going to keep it short and sweet, huh?
Yeah, nah. Because, you know, for me, you know, I have a friend who's a bodybuilder, so, like, we kind of go through a lot of these conversations, you know, just in terms of what all that means. And, like, if you look at society, there's always been some unrealistic paradigm that's been forced on women. They tell the dark-skinned women, y'all too dark. They tell the white women, you too light. You know, you tell the girls with the big butt, they don't have enough titties. You tell the girls with the titties, they don't have enough butt. I mean, it's such a gambit. It's such a game. So, and part of it is, you know, we talk about just society and, you know, what's wrong with getting old? Like, you're supposed to get old. Like, you know, in cultures that we look at historically, I didn't see the Africans doing nothing that made them want to look younger. Like, we was like, hey, we go in the bush and we get these plants and we prop titties up. Man, you watch National Geographic, titties down to their knees and nobody don't give a damn. You know, so, you know, if you would work more on your talent and instead of putting money in your bank account to lift your titties, then maybe somebody will like you.
But you can't tell me that Janet Jackson doesn't look fine even at 45, 50 years of age almost. I think that the times have changed. I also think that you want to kind of always keep things fresh. Everybody, we are going to get older, but if we can preserve that girlish looks or those boyish looks, why not? You know, do things a little bit different to preserve. I think technology's here, so if you use it right, can really fully help you. Sorry for cutting you off.
Well, it's not the technology I have a problem with. It's the business of the technology. There's a lot of things you can do that are natural that can achieve those same results. And that's what I talk about my friends that are bodybuilders. Like, there are a lot of people that, you know, you just want the quick fix in a pill. You know, you just, hey, I don't want to do the work. Give me the surgery.
Yeah, that's true.
So the problem I have is the untold risks from a health standpoint. You know, like, booty shots ain't legal nowhere. But you go to the strip club, everybody got booty shots. You know, the only surgery that is certified by the FDA is where they take the fat out and put it someplace else. So what I'm telling you is you got these people walking around with, you know, fix a flat in their butt and, you know, all kind of stuff. And it's just not healthy if that is the end result. What you're trying to achieve. If you're telling me, well, I want to look better, but you put silicone in your butt, like, no, you're not. You're killing yourself.
Touche. I'll agree with that there are some procedures that are a little bit more dangerous than others, but when it's done correctly by the appropriate licensed physician, again, I'll say I'm all team for plastic surgery and enhancement. Now, we do have several listeners on the call tonight, and if you guys have any questions or comments that you want to share with our guests or with Todd tonight, just let us know, because, again, this is open for discussion. I know that women, we have these conversations amongst ourselves all the time about what are men really looking for. So if you have a comment, please let us know. And while I was thinking about that, you guys,
How do they do that? What number do they press to call to raise their hand?
All they have to do is press 1, and we'll bring them on the air. So thanks for asking that, Sean. And if you guys are somewhat shy and you still have a question or a comment, if you guys log on to drguygumbletalk.com, you can actually participate in a live chat with us. So if you don't want to ask your question or post your comment live, you can actually post it on the website. So thanks, Sean, for reminding me about telling them to press 1. Now, here's a big one, you guys, and as a single, successful man, eligible, like, you guys would be called hot commodities. Single, never married, no kids, like, you're a hot commodity, right? If, and I'm only going to say if, because I know you guys have heard this, when you hear women saying that there are no good men, and that's why they're single, how do you respond to that, and how does it make you feel hearing that?
I think it's crap. I think there's a lot of good men out here. It's just a matter of you just haven't found that good man for yourself. I also think that a lot of women think that showing cleavage and booty and all your assets, it's a lot of pretty women out here in this world. So you got to now differentiate yourself more than just showing your butt and your breasts. Things are different now. It's so much competition, for lack of a better word, But it's just so many people out here that are just beautiful. You got to have more than that. And, you know, people are more concerned about likes versus actual results. It's more about the prestigious of putting on a facade online than actual spending time or really having that quality. But I know a lot of good brothers that I talk to on a daily basis that are actually great, great men. Some of them that actually inspire me to be better than what I actually am. And I wouldn't say that I'm, you know, all that, but I know I try every day to be a good man. But I know there's a lot of good brothers out here. It's just a matter of just that good brother hasn't found you. I'm just being honest.
Okay. Sean, when you hear the statement, because you and I talk about this all the time, there are no good men, you know, how do you feel about that when you hear that?
Well, there are three things that I think. I think you're not a good woman. I think that you go to the wrong places, and I think you have unrealistic expectations. You know, like you and I were talking about, like, say, for instance, you know, if you said you want somebody who is financially stable, but you go to Applebee's every Friday. Now, I'm not saying that nobody at Applebee's is financially stable, but, you know, there's a difference between going to Applebee's and going to an equestrian event or a charity ball or a cooking class. Like, your model is so broken because you're still following, you know, what basically I guess they were doing on TV in the 80s. Like, and me and my friends talk about this. Like, if you go on to the Super Bowl, the All-Star Game.
You ain't going for the right purposes.
Right. Like, if you're not in the industry where that's something that is related to your job, then I'm not messing with you. So, you know, it's more about the circles that you put yourself in. You know, if you try to, you know, I'm not, and maybe I shouldn't say this, but if you're in a city and you know more than five of the promoters, man, maybe it ain't the dudes. Maybe it's you. Maybe it's where you're going. Yeah. Maybe it's how you conduct yourself. You know, so to me, that's what I hear. Like, I got a friend, he's in Atlanta. He's a police officer, so we kind of joke because he knows a lot of people in Atlanta. And, you know, there was a young lady we went to college with, and he saw her with this gentleman, you know, pull up in his Maserati, and, you know, she came out, and, you know, she ignored him, and, you know, so a month later, he ran into her again and was like, you know, Edward dumped me. He's like, well, I could have told you that. He got a new chick every month. You just was October, but you didn't say that, you know, like, so, you know, I think what happens with women is you all get caught up, and you and I talk about this, into some of the financial traps. Because you equate the financial success with the security and the safety, and that may not be necessarily what I'm trading with you. You know, I may be trading the financial security that you feel for access to your body for months, but that don't mean I want to be with you. You know, so it's kind of, you know, how women have a perception of things. Like, you know, it's not the same as it used to be where, okay, there's a good guy. Well, a good guy might have started out being a plumber's apprentice. Now he got his own plumbing company. But you know, you don't look at him like that. He might be making.
You didn't give him. You didn't give him time when he was
chance,
doing it.
Right. But he was a fellow craft, and now you see riding the Jaguar. He like, you know, when I saw you, used to be dirty all the time. Well, I still, you know, I'm a good dude. I had good work ethic. You know, like that's what I see as the difference between, you know, previous generations and now. I was like, well, okay, what you doing now? Oh, that ain't popping. Okay, well, holler back at me when you get that bread. And then, you know, like when I get that bread and you see me with the white girl and you be like, I hate when dudes do that. But I gave you a chance when I was dirty, you know what I'm saying, trying to get my plumber's license. You know, white girl was like, hey, well, you know, I mean, we got a plan. You know, I'm going to get the marketing together for you. We're going to get you one truck. And then, you know, they work with you. You know, and that's just when we talk about different cultures. You know, America is about the dollar, and it's not as much of a patriarchal culture as it used to be. Like, women think that they need to run stuff, which is fine, so I said go run it. But, you know, you can't – what ends up happening is you're an alpha woman, but you're looking for an alpha man. But alpha men aren't attracted to alpha women. So what happens is you get a beta guy – and then you run him through all these hoops and tests, and then you figure, oh, he's worth it because he's put up with your bullshit, and then you try to hand him the reins to run the show, but he can't run the show because he's a beta dude. That's why he's there.
Yep.
And then you get frustrated.
Or you meet or you meet an alpha guy and he gives you a certain tone, or he asks you to do something, the first thing you say, you don't talk to me like that. You're not my daddy.
Right.
You know, it's like,
right.
So I get it.
Right.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, but I mean, that's the same thing that we talk about all the time is like you want a man to run the show. It's kind of like, say, Dr. Dye, you got a dog. You know what I'm saying? So you got a guard dog, but every time you try to guard the house, you know, you admonish him. So when the burglar come in and steal everything, and he's sitting there, you're like, well, what good was the dog? He's like, well, I tried to protect the house, but every time I tried, you was like, stop. So, you know, it's a cycle that women don't understand, and you all are just as caught up in the physical as we are. You want to do with the bends. He got to be 6 feet. You know, he need to have a body like this. And then, you know, like the guys who epitomize what you're talking about, they know what they look like. They know what they're driving. They know what their body is. So what you think
I'll add to that. And if you light-skinned, the first thing they say is you're a light-skinned brother. So, you know, I'm light-skinned.
Right.
And I hear that all the time. Well, I normally don't date light-skinned dudes. So.
Right, right.
You know.
So, you know, you run through that whole gambit. So, and I gave you what the numbers are. What they basically, when we talked about the number of black men in America who are 6 feet, who make over six figures, it may be 300,000 people. So what you're telling me is out of a population of 15 million black women, y'all looking for 300,000 dudes? You think they don't know that?
Hmm. See, Sean, you know what? You're trying to take our show into a different direction tonight, this whole alpha beta. We're going to come back to the alpha beta because
I'm sorry,
being an alpha female. I'm going to own that. But we do have a caller, so we're going to go to the phone line and see what our caller has to say. And it looks like it's showing up as 111. Caller, you're on the air.
Hello, I've been listening. It's kind of funny, actually, for about 10 minutes, 12 minutes. It's funny. But, you know, I think, you know, when men talk about there's a lot of good men out there, I think, first of all, they should define what good means. Because somebody has a job and makes, you know, these $50,000-$60,000 a year with some benefits doesn't make him good. And, you know, and the same thing with women. Just because a woman, you know, makes a certain amount of money, she goes to, that's what grown folks are supposed to do. You're supposed to go to school or get some training and work and take care of yourself. That's nothing special. So that doesn't mean that you're good. And then when they come up with this, well, you didn't want me when I was a plumbing apprentice and I didn't have anything, and now that I have a company, you want to get with me. Now I don't want you, black women. Don't be mad if you see me with a white girl. Well, you could turn that around and say, well, when she was overweight and not exercising and fat, you didn't want her either. But now maybe she's slimmed down. You know, I know of situations where that happened. The women now have a banging body. They've gone to school. They've gotten educated. They're happy. And now these same men that didn't want them when they were fat and didn't have anything, they're trying to holler at them too. So it's all the same, you know. But she doesn't think that, oh, well, you didn't want me then, so now I'm going to be with the white guy.
Mm.
I mean, it's kind of silly and kind of funny when you really stop and think about it. What I would say is that a lot of black men have been, they have been overvalued, and black women have been undervalued, and black women need to just stop tripping on all of that and expand their options. It's a big world out there. I know a lot of black women. They don't date black men. They've been there, done that. They are married and dating all kind of other men. So they're not limiting themselves. And I think that, you know, I don't think we should really be too put our energy into, well, what do these black men want from us? What do these black professionals? You know what? Do you become the best person you can be? Expand your options and don't trip. Let them do whatever they want and think whatever they want.
Ooh. So while you're talking, and Colin, can I get your name, please?
Oh, I'm from the West Coast. I call myself West Coast.
Okay, West Coast. While you were, I'm gonna tell you,
West Coast, the black women that I know that are doing the best with black men. They're with ultra professional white men who are very.
West Coast, I have people that are texting right now saying, preach on, preach on. Like, I'm getting different comments or responses to your comment. But you did ask a question, and you said, what makes a man a good man? And so that was a really good question. So
yeah, I mean, they think, oh, I don't have a prison record. Well, you're not supposed to have a prison record. I went to school. Well, big deal. A lot more black women have gone to school than black men. So what? Well, I go to work and I take care of myself. That's what grown folks are supposed to do.
But when they say
I'm a good man, I mean, what do they mean?
Well, I need to know, what do you mean? You know, and I don't feel like anybody's overvalued. You know, let me jump on that first. You know, if you have a checklist of someone's life plan, they're good men that been to jail, they're bad men that they in jail. Like, it's all relative. It's subjective. And just generally speaking,
I think it's kind of silly. No, black men bring up a lot. I'm a good man. There's a lot of good black. I mean, I heard you say that more than once.
Well, what I'm saying is, from the women that I talk to, their expectations are unrealistic. Not about black men, white men, Martian men, whatever it is they want. You know, I hear the list of things that they want and who they are, and I tell them, I don't know none of these dudes. I don't know no black dudes to do that. I don't know white dudes to do that. I don't know Italian dudes to do it. I don't know none of them dudes.
And you know another thing, all this alpha, beta, male, I'm so sick of hearing that. Listen, it's all about respect, okay?
It's true, though. It's your wife.
Same way, if you're running a company or managing a division or whatever, you're not supposed to come home and treat her like she's an employee. So can we just stop with that?
Well, there's not a differentiation between boss and employee. It's masculine and feminine. There's feminine power and there's masculine power. If I'm the epitome of masculine power and you the epitome of masculine power, then we ain't going to get along. You got to get in your feminine power to balance my masculine power. It's not my employee, or my slave, or my subject.
That's what I'm talking about, the alpha male, beta male. That's so 1990s talk.
It's prevalent.
Really, seriously. Yes. If those terms get bandied around so much, they're becoming a real bore. And to me, it's kind of silly. Listen, I don't care what you do and how much money you make, and that's for men or women. You do what you do on your job, but you don't treat... you don't come home with that same mentality necessarily, because there's some good leaders on the job. You know, they treat people with respect. You know, they have good communication skills. They know they don't know everything. So, you know, it comes down to really, do you respect people or not?
Mm-hmm. Well, I would definitely agree with you, West Coast, that at the end of the day, what it comes down to, if we're talking about healthy relationships, is that there's a balance and that one isn't subservient or that one isn't seen as the boss or the boss of the other. And so it would seem that that would be the healthiest. We know that that doesn't always take place. And you really did make some valid points tonight about what is a good man. Sean, you've kind of spoken to that. One of the statements that you said is, obviously, we do know that black women are outnumbering men in colleges 8-1, and it is unfortunate. And so I think when we were talking about, and I can't speak for Sean or Leo, but when we were talking about tonight, what do they think men are looking for? Do you have any thoughts about what do you think a successful man is looking for? Because really at the end of the day, it's our own perception or belief. So West Coast, what do you think they're looking for?
I think it depends on the man. I mean, if they believe that they have a big advantage because, you know, the ones with the college degrees and the careers outnumber black women, and therefore they can be jerks and be extremely picky and have high demands and want women to jump through hoops and be subservient, that's not anybody that a woman with any common sense would want to be bothered with. That's
uh-huh.
not a good man. So it all depends on, I think, that man's mentality and upbringing.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying? Because somebody with some consciousness would understand that being the way it is by design. It's by
uh-huh.
design by a greater system. That doesn't mean that you take advantage of that, where, you know, where you become a very self-centered, selfish, narcissistic personality.
Uh-huh.
So I just believe, you know, people, you know, for the most part, they want to be respected. Men love to be admired and respected and appreciated.
Uh-huh.
And I think all men want that. Now, uh-huh. some men might want a whole lot more because they believe that they are few and far between. And, you know, it's the issue of supply and demand, and because they're in such great demand that they expect you to, damn near grovel at their feet. Well, you know, so it all depends on the person. But I do know that they don't want to come home. If you are out there grinding and having to make a lot of decisions and a lot of responsibility, you don't necessarily, a lot of men don't want to come home to conflict.
Uh-huh.
You know, they do want that feminine energy there. You know, they don't want to battle, you know, at home, but they need to realize, you know, a lot of what comes off of a woman is because of the energy that he's projecting onto her.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your comment, West Coast. Continue to listen. If you have any other comments, please let us know.
Okay.
All right, you guys. So I do want to make reference to an article. And the article talks about five things successful men notice first in a woman. And so they kind of mention some of the things that Leo, you, and Sean have mentioned. But I do want to make reference to, and for ladies, if you guys are out there listening, which I know you are, they have a website. And the website is called SeekingArrangement.com. It's the largest website where generous men can meet attractive women. Now, currently, they have over 1.7 million members worldwide, and the website is home to successful men, and the average income of the men on the website is $250,000, with the highest 10% averaging a net worth of $1.7 million. So this particular website did a survey of their participants, and they came up with the five things that successful men notice first. And so number five that they looked at is that they noticed that, or these individuals said that the fifth most important quality successful men notice in women is their hair. Now, Sean and I, we've talked about that whole concept behind hair and why men are attracted to women with healthy, and I'll say healthy hair, not necessarily long hair, but this particular survey referenced to the fifth most important quality about a woman is her hair, and not unnatural hair, but her natural hair, also the natural color of her hair. And so I found that very interesting because, again, Sean and I have made reference to that, and so I'm wondering if you guys have any thoughts about their number fifth quality that's most important is hair.
For me, I would say hair is something that I do look at. It's not really a requirement whether it's long, short. I don't really care about weave or natural or any of that. For me, it's all about appearance. What the appearance is for me is when I am with you, can I bring you to my corporate event? Can I bring you around work or whatnot? And is the appearance going to be received? I just can't get into all the pink, the red, the many multifaceted colors that, you know, people are doing nowadays. But for me, it doesn't matter. I like some lot. I've seen women that are attracted with locks. I've seen women that are attracted with short hair, long hair. To me, I really don't have a necessary preference either way, as long as it's done nicely.
Uh-huh. Sean?
Well, you know, we've had the conversation, so I will go ahead and speak upon that. From a genetic level, you know, there's some things that attract men and women together. And one of the things that is a marker indicator of a woman's health is her hair. So subconsciously, men look at that to determine how healthy the woman is, whether it's long, short. You just want to make sure that it is healthy. And that's why I don't like weave, but that's just a Sean thing, because I feel like it's a, you know, misstation of the woman, you know, and that's why I don't like plastic surgery. It's the same thing I told you. If we go out on a date and I pull up in a Bentley, and, you know, we go out and we have a great time, and next week I pick you up and I got an Altima. I never told you the Bentley was mine. I just had access to it that day. But, you know, for a woman, that's deception. Oh, he lied. I thought he had a Bentley. I never told you that. I just picked you up in it. It might have been my homeboy. I might got a dude that got it, you know, that work at the limo place that gave me the call for the night. But, you know, you see the Bentley pull up and you got all kind of visions of sugar plum fairies going through your head. No, man, we're going to be doing this. And I never told you that. I just pulled up in the car. So when I see some weave, that's what I think, deception.
Well, according to their survey, they stated that hair growth and quality is highly dependent upon hormones and nutrition and the health of the woman. So it sounds like, Sean, again, you agree with this article, that depending on, and again, it doesn't necessarily mean short or long, but they're saying healthy hair is a reflection of this woman just being healthy overall. That was their number fifth one. Their number fourth one said, a sense of self is the fourth one. And so for the most part, they said that they do not like women who pretend or exaggerate understanding certain subjects. So a big pet peeve among successful men was that women lied about understanding their knowledge about certain events, politics, and culture. So I'm wondering if that would speak to maybe Leo, woman that you said needs to be confident, and Sean said you said a woman who has to be intelligent, which I'm going to equate with most likely an articulate woman who is abreast of current news and events. So that was their number four. What do you guys think about that?
I agree. I can't stand to be around somebody that just want to be like, okay, you know I like sports. You know sports has pretty much been my entire life. It's what I do for a living. And then just all of a sudden you try to speak the language that you really don't know about. For me, I'd rather you just be genuine and not, okay, you don't know it. Just like I don't know your reality TV show world. So maybe we can show each other some of the opposite things that may be intriguing to each other's own personal, like what we like to do. So for me, I kind of lose interest right away off that. So.
Okay. Sean, what about you? Thoughts on the number, the third one?
Yeah, like I went to a car show with a young lady, and, you know, she thought a Lamborghini was a Ferrari, so that really wasn't too appealing to me. Just, you don't know what it is, just shut up. It does have the name on the car, too, but, you know, like, whatever. So, yeah, I'm with that.
Okay. So their third most attractive is the way a woman carries herself when she walks was third on the list. 26% of those surveyed said that proper balance of speed and posture exuded attractiveness. Huh. What do you got
Absolutely.
To talk about that one?
Absolutely.
Posture,
totally agree.
The way she walks.
And I'll add, if she has on heels and no wedges, that's even a better addition to the table. I'm sorry, I'm going to get killed by this, but...
Death to the wedges again, Leo.
You know me, death to the wedges. I like the heels.
Okay.
Well, if we go back to some of the same things I believe I've said on previous shows, there are some studies done that indicate women who are orgasmic walk a certain way, and women who are not orgasmic walk a different way. So, you know, if I can look at your walk, I can kind of know what you can do and what you can't do. Like, if you got the heels on and you look like you're falling, that thing might not work right.
From a pair of heels, Sean?
Damn right.
Yeah.
Leo?
Oh, yeah.
You got
Leo
over depth to the wedges. He's saying the same thing. I'm just being real specific. Like, I can show you the studies, but basically, according to a woman's hips, you know, if, you know, her gait, you know, the strength of her legs, you know, because they got some women that can't walk because they're just not strong enough to walk in heels, you know, so... You know, you have to be strong enough to be able to move your hips and articulate those movements, you know, when you don't have the heels on. So what's number two?
Okay, so number two was the posture. So now we're getting ready to hit the number one thing that successful men say they are attracted to. So the number one most important quality or indicator that successful men notice in a woman was the quality of verbal and written communication. They stated almost most used through text or email. 53% of the men surveyed preferred verbal communication. Misspellings or inappropriate abbreviations were considered deal breakers.
Oh, I think I'm on the other side of the fence. This is probably my biggest issue in every relationship that I've probably been in the last, like, 5 years, is that I communicate more via text than I do verbally. And the reason being is I'm in a lot of meetings. Like right now I'm actually working in a meeting right now as I'm talking. And so a lot of times I can't really communicate, especially when running a department and conducting meetings and then having my own personal client meetings and then dealing with ownership and all the other things that comes with that. So I'll give you an example. My last person that I dated, she was off Mondays and Wednesdays. Mondays and Wednesdays are good times for her to talk, whereas I'm generally usually off in a perfect sports world, perfect sports and entertainment world on Saturday and Sunday, and that's when I'm not, there's no events, no this or that. So she wanted all day on Monday, but she would call, you know, the office and talk on Wednesday, and I'm like, look, I can't talk, and while you're talking to me, I'm actually not really, I'm kind of zoned out, so I'm not really hearing you, so it shows that I'm not really paying attention, and then she complains about, well, you can only text. I'm like, okay, well, would you rather receive a text from me in the meeting knowing that I'm thinking about you, or would you rather just go the entire day without hearing from me at all? So I prefer verbal, but because of the situation, the circumstances that are in my life, I tend to do text a little bit more, and then I would say second would probably be FaceTime. So I'd like to see you while I'm talking.
But if she misspells things in midst of the texting, like, is that a pet peeve? Because they're saying that this is their pet peeve.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's not so much the words misspelling, it's the actual usage of words. It's you know, you use a wrong word in that place, or you talk, but it's like totally out of whack, if it makes sense. So,
right.
Yeah, but misspellings don't really bother me, not because I tend to short text and short, you know, when I'm not at work all the time. So, no, it doesn't bother me.
All right. Sean, what about you?
Man, if you text specific like the ocean and you meant specific, you gone. That's rough.
You said specific. I agree with that. That's what I mean, the verb. I agree with that.
Yeah. Like, all intents and purposes, you said all intensive purposes? Yeah, that's not, we're not doing that.
Or, like, I can't stand the usage of the word effect and effect. Use that
right.
Like, I'm real. That you got to know the difference between that.
Right. Now, are you guys just being too petty?
I am. I know I'm a picky person at times. I admit that. So I look at a lot of stuff. Roll my eyes.
Like West Coast said, you know, like you're supposed to know that. Like, you'll get no no brownie points because you know how to use the English language. It's English. You're supposed to know how to use that.
Right.
You know, I'm dating a chick in English, her second language. She's doing better than you.
Right.
Okay, I'll go with that.
Like, for instance, if you text how and you just write R, the letter R and U, I don't care. I use shorthand all the time. But it's more about the verbiage. The verbiage will throw me for a loop.
All right.
Okay, I will go with that. All right, so you guys, we have to get ready to wrap up, and I have enjoyed this show greatly. And so as we prepare to wrap up, what are some closing remarks that you guys have? Again, I'm going to go back to the statement, not that I believe it, that there are no good men. Okay, where would a woman, a successful, qualified woman that meets the criteria that you guys just reported, where would she potentially find a successful and good, and I say good in air quotations because it's so subjective, but where would she find a good, successful man? Potentially where? Like, where should she be looking? Because you guys mentioned earlier that these women are just potentially looking in the wrong place. So where should they start looking? Or where should they start appearing, like socializing?
Well, let me jump on this first. The problem is that you're looking. You got to work on yourself and find out what you like first. And once you find out that, then you can speak to your interests, and then you will, you know, be able to navigate whatever city you're in to find people with like minds. Like, if you out here setting mousetraps, you know, at the singles meeting, at the Chamber of Commerce, man, that ain't going to work. You got to really tap into who you are, develop your talents, and then whoever that person will emerge for you.
Okay, very good response. Leo, what you got?
For me, I really don't know. I think it's just a matter of chance, opportunity, and just being open to receiving something that may not necessarily be about what you particularly like. If you don't date a dark-skinned brother, but a light-skinned brother approaches you, see what it's all about. You never know what you may be entertaining. I don't run in the club, so I can't say that that's an area. But I will say where I spend a lot of my time is either at the arena, at the games, at conferences, traveling, the airport. You'll find some very good opportunities to have conversations in the airport. And then also a lot of different marketing advertisement conferences that I go to in Phoenix, in L.A., in Chicago. You just got to be around the right people. I can't really necessarily quantify it by exactly where, but if you're in the industry of being successful and you're about accomplishing your dreams and your goals, reaching certain levels, you kind of put yourself around people that you want to be like or be better than. For me, once my circle got smaller, my friends got smaller, and everything just became bigger outside of that. So it's not a matter of just dealing with any and everybody, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. One person told me if I was the smartest person in my circle of friends, I needed a new circle of friends. And that stuck with me. And to this day, I'm constantly searching for people to broaden my horizons and expand my knowledge base. And so I think the statements that you guys have just left us with are both really good statements. The first one, Sean, you made reference to is if a woman finds out what she really enjoys, she'll potentially find someone else that enjoys doing what she's doing, so she'll find someone. So I thought that was great. Leo, you said pretty much surround yourself with successful people. If this is what you're striving for, if you're looking to date that successful man, then definitely make sure that you're striving towards it and surrounding yourself with that. So, you guys, it's been a blast tonight. Thank you, West Coast, for chiming in. I definitely hope that you'll tune in next week. Leo, thank you for joining us tonight. I'm going to have to bring you back because we're going to talk about trips to Brazil. And I know you're going to be there often. So in some upcoming shows, you'll have to join us. Sean, as always, thank you for being my co-host. You guys, don't forget to Facebook it, tweet it, pass it on, tell a friend about Dr. Guy's Monday Night Gumbo. Everyone have a blessed week. Good night.
Good night.
I'm going to work.